Third hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on this Monday afternoon. Let's head over to the Titans facility. Let's hear from head coach Mike Vrabel.
Status is Derek's going to have surgery in the morning. And, you know, we're not going to put a timeline on when he may return. I know that he'll do everything that he can to work himself back to be able to help this football team. And whenever that is, you know, that's when it'll be. And I know that he'll be around our team as soon as he can. I know that's important to him. I know that'll be important to our team. And, you know, we will have to move on. You know, we have to move on, unfortunately, without him here in the short term and not look back.
Before about how heavily you all rely on him. I think you've even used the word that he's carried the team maybe in some games. How well equipped are you to continue to succeed offensively without him?
You know, I think that we're going to have to be. We're going to have to be creative and we're going to have to figure out, you know, answers and way to, you know, move the football and continue to run our offense. You know, and a lot of that is probably still up in the air, you know, about what we're going to do and, you know, game plan and, you know, who will be in there and then the bodies that we have available and the ones that we may, you know, even eventually sign, you know, to come in here.
How's he doing, Mike, given the circumstances?
Well, I mean, I don't want to, you know, I hate to speak for our players, but, you know, I think that Derek is, I mean, he's disappointed. Everybody's, you know, he feels bad. You feel bad. I mean, we spent a lot of time together, with the coaching staff and with the players, you know, so you never want to see any of them, you know, injured in any capacity. So, you know, I know that Derek's going to work extremely hard, you know, to get back to do everything he can to help this football team.
In a moment, or is it?
You know, we're not. You know, Paul, I don't think that that's. You know, he. We found out, you know, after the game that. You know, there was an issue, and the issue is going to need to be fixed.
Seems like a wear and tear thing. Do you think about
injuries happen for multiple different reasons. I'm not sure why you would speculate that it would be wear and tear.
What did he show with his toughness in terms of being able to play through the whole game?
Well, our guys are extremely tough. You know, guys are extremely tough, and Derek is one of those players. You know, there's a lot of guys that, you know, that do that. And, you know, his toughness has never been questioned. Certainly won't be, you know, as long as I'm here.
You mentioned getting creative. I mean, how much midway through the season, how much can a team change its offense and how much would you want to change, I guess, the style of offense?
Well, I don't know how much, you know, we're going to change. It's just by, you know, adding some things and doing some different things with who we have in there. Not ready to commit to anything or a wholesale change. You know, there's a lot of teams that, you know, that rely on a multiple backs, you know, to run the football within their same scheme.
If I could pivot for just a second.
Absolutely.
Going back and watching the tape with the pass interference stuff, is there a technique thing that can be corrected, a coaching point that can eliminate some of those problems?
A lot of it is just, you know, the technique down the field. And when in doubt, you have to play the ball. You know, Luke, you have to. Because your margin for error when you don't is so thin on the contact. Whether you think it's enough contact for a foul, and they happen every week. If you track these and chart them and see the ones where they're calling DPI when guys aren't playing the ball, you ask, well, why wasn't that one a flag? He wasn't playing the ball. It looked like there was a little bit of contact. So I would say that the short answer to that is when in doubt, you have to be in a position to play the football. Now, you also see what comes up sometimes is guys look back for the ball and separation is created. Right when the DB looks back for the ball and the ball's not underthrown, now there's separation that's created and it's sometimes a completed pass. Or, you know, there's some hand fighting going on, and so you see sometimes when a DB looks back, you know, and there's a little hand fighting at the hip. A good receiver is going to, you know, push you at the hip, and then now there's some separation. So, the biggest point is being in a position to be able to play the football in the air and doing our best to do that. And we'll keep working on it.
Go
ahead, Ben.
Mike, with the news, with Derek, is there anything you have to say to the team's leaders about kind of taking charge or maybe, you know, kind of leading you guys through this kind of maybe uncertain
time? Yeah, I mean, I don't think that anything, you know, I don't think we have to have an official meeting. I think that, you know, everybody understands that, you know, with him not on the field right now, there's going to be a void in leadership, and, you know, guys will step up and we will find, you know, guys. I feel like we do have, you know, some strong leadership. You don't play the types of games that we play sometimes, unfortunately, without and win them and being able to win them without, you know, a good, strong nucleus of leaders and guys that believe in each other.
Whatever you piece together in the backfield, how maybe crucial is it now for Julio to surface and be part of the pass?
Well, I think everybody. You know what I mean? I think everybody. We'll have to block better. We'll have to throw better. We'll have to call better games and not just one person. You know, we need everybody. We'll need everybody in all three phases. You know, so whoever wasn't with us on Sunday, you know, we'll have to try to get them back out there as soon as we can to help us moving forward.
You believe that the play – well, we've seen that the play-action passing game with Henry has been very effective. What makes you believe – that it can continue to be effective, because that's obviously something you guys go to a lot.
Well, I mean, I think that we're going to continue to run the ball with whoever's in there. We're going to run our offense. And, you know, I don't think anybody wants to sit there and drop back and throw it 45 times a game. So, again, we'll meet with, you know, Todd and his staff. We'll meet offensively, and we'll come up with, you know, what we feel like is the best plan. Certainly don't want to get into a drop back passing game this week.
Given the way that Derrick Henry just recovers generally in the offseason, does that give you some extra hope about his ability to be able to come back fast?
You know, I'm always hopeful. You know, I don't want to compare one player to the next as it relates to injuries. Emily, we've always talked about this as far as, you know, guys just or people in general just kind of come back from something, you know, maybe a little quicker or something, you know, takes a little longer. So I know that if anybody can – I guess come back, it would be Derek, but I'm not going to put any expectations on any sort of timeline.
Speaking, of course, about Adrian Peterson being brought in the last couple of years in the back end of his career, what have you seen from him? Do you believe he's still got juice and power?
Well, I'm not going to comment on, you know, what's being speculated. I'm going to comment on, you know, the guys that are here on our roster that we have signed, and, you know, we've played against Adrian, and, you know, obviously he's got a, you know, a pretty strong and solid resume.
Even if Derek isn't going to be on the field for you guys, do you still anticipate him to have, you know, a presence with the team, whether it's, you know, FaceTiming guys or, you know, encouragement or, you know, I don't know how much he's going to be in the building at this point, but do you kind of see him having that kind of role?
I don't know, Ben, if you heard me earlier, but I did say that he was going to be back here as soon as possible, and I think that that will be important for him to be here. And I know that he wants to be here when he is able to and start that rehab process. So I know his presence in the building will be important. When that'll happen, I don't know. But I know, having talked to Derek, that will be as soon as possible.
Seeing in McNichols and maybe Hilliard, who's now on board, and even Sargent.
You know, Jeremy, since he's been here, whether that's in the active roster, the practice squad, coming back to us, has always just done whatever the team needed him to do, be on special teams, run the football, protect. You know, he's got a certain level of toughness that we respect. He's done a nice job in protection. He's done a nice job in the screen game. You know, Ryan made an absolutely great throw to Jeremy and a great catch to get us in that 4th-and-1 situation that we were able to convert yesterday. I mean, that was a huge play, you know, scrambling to Ryan's left and Jeremy becoming available and making a nice catch. I mean, that's a huge play, and there's a lot of plays like that Jeremy's had. So we've got confidence in him. You know, Dontrell, I would say, probably spent more time in our building for a new player last week, as much as anyone I can remember. I would see him late in the special teams office with Auk, trying to get some stuff there. I heard him meeting with Tony in Tony's office And so he came in ready to go. You could see that he clearly wanted to try to come in and play. Sarge has shown a toughness and a willingness to be available and be with us through training camp.
And Derek's toughness, everybody knows it. You think, you know, is there any chance that playing the rest of the game after he was first, you know, getting medical attention, could he have made it worse by kind of trying to tough it out?
Well, I think we've always, you know, done what's best for the player. I think that, you know, there's some things that we never want to put a player in jeopardy to not be able to do his job or to make anything worse. So I don't think that that was the case yesterday, and then hopefully we can always avoid any of those situations.
Was there any discussion of shutting him down at a
point? There was, you know, I think there was internally in my mind. I mean, I check with obviously the medical staff. I check with the player, and in this case, it, you know, check with Derek. And you know, I'm going to give him a little bit of leeway. I think he's earned the right to help me make that decision, you know, like we always do on his rest and recovery and, you know, certain situations that him and I have had over the course of the time together, whether that was to, you know, sit him for a game against the Saints or allow him to go back out there against the Texans or whatever it may be. And, you know, we felt like at that time and listening to Derek and the medical staff that, you know, he would be okay being out there. So that's kind of where I was. And it did, you know, and we tried to spell him a little bit, you know, with some other guys, and it's kind of how it went.
He qualified? I mean, in a situation like that, of course he's going to want to stay, right? Every player is going to want to stay.
Not necessarily, Paul. You don't talk to a lot of our guys. A lot of our guys and some guys around the league will you can know. And it's not that he's qualified. Again, I checked with, you know, check with the medical staff, check with Derek, and there was no indication that, you know, he would make anything any worse.
Make a good decision throwing the ball away yesterday? Or
great decision. It was a wonderful decision. It was a great job of avoiding, you know, the tackle for loss. You know, the nickel did a nice job of triggering. You know, we thought we could take advantage of that, and we just, you know, didn't execute it. But what we did was we saved the day, and A.J., you know, smartly and wisely threw that ball away.
How hard is it for him to make a guy, you know, to make, you know, all week you practice throwing the ball down the field, right? I mean, to in that moment think, no, best thing here.
Yeah, you don't practice the throwaway. You know, you always, that's like the addendum, you know, to one of those special plays is like, oh, yeah, oh, by the way, if it's not open, you know, just try to throw it over there by the TV cameras. And, you know, we have a lot of trust in A.J., you know, obviously. And so when it wasn't there, you know, he made the proper play.
How's your quarterback?
Good. He's excited. You know, we're 6-2. We guys got, you know, everybody's sore, banged up, but, you know, guys are excited to be where we are and to continue, you know, to try to prepare.
You mentioned this, but just given the way that your team's been able to handle adversity so far this season, how much does that foundation help with the confidence as they go forward without Henry?
Well, I think it helps. I think any time that you can be in tight games and face adversity, you know, that just only can build and make you stronger. To be resilient, to be able to have some personal struggle along the way, to have some struggle as a team along the way, you know. And again, excited always for the players to have them enjoy, you know, victory and celebrate, you know, and then try to reel them back in and get ready for another week, another huge challenge.
What is the challenge? This is a league that the mantra is next man up. Certainly, this team has done that over and over, but Derek isn't just a regular man. Is there a greater challenge when there's somebody like him? Is it more guys that have to? Is it 53 guys that have to step up?
Well, I mean, everybody has to be better. You know, everybody has to continue to improve and be better. And, you know, it's our job to try to find ways to win. You know, Derek's going to be missed, but I think everybody also understands that, you know, we're going to continue to prepare and find out who we have available and, you know, have a game plan and go try to win. And, you know, that's just what has to happen.
I think the MRI will give you any idea of a timeline when you get results back from that today or when?
You know, doctors will they love them. You know, doctors love timelines. I'm sure they'll try to give us one. I won't necessarily listen to it, but I'm sure that they'll tell Todd and they'll tell everybody else that'll want to listen, you know, what the timeline will be.
I mean, fans, you know, obviously are always clamoring. Is there any chance that he'll be back to see?
I think that there's a chance that anything could happen. There's absolutely a chance. Now, I can't sit here and tell you that that's going to happen. I just know that it's that Derrick Henry and hopefully everybody else that's out is going to do everything that they possibly can to get back as quickly as they possibly can. And then we'll make a decision if that's best for them and best for the team.
What are your early thoughts on the Rams? And I guess you saw this morning that they've acquired Von Miller. I'm assuming will play on Sunday as well.
Sure. You know, talented, you know, explosive. You know, I think, you know, the quarterback's playing extremely well. You know, Cooper Kupp, they find ways to run the ball. They're creative in finding ways to run the ball. You know, Woods has always been a player that I think personally I've always respected. He goes in there and blocks. Cooper blocks. They're good route runners. They're strong with the football. They're good after the catch. You know, Higbee's somebody that continues to show up, you know, when you watch. The line's been intact. You know, the defense, you know, plays fast and really forces the quarterback when they throw the ball to make some quick decisions. You know, obviously Ramsey's, you know, a huge challenge, but you know, they have guys that are playing fast and really understand what they're trying to get done.
Will you practice on Wednesday, you think?
Practice? Yeah, we'll practice in some capacity on Wednesday. Oh, all right. We'll know on Wednesday. It's Monday, so we'll see where we're at on Wednesday.
Got in there again yesterday. Did you see progress from him from the previous week?
Yeah, I think the thing I appreciate about Dylan is there's mistakes like there is everybody, and there's going to be technique things that we want to fix up. But he's finishing. I mean, I see him. You know, I saw him on a screen. You know, 10, 12 yards down the field, trying to get extra blocks, trying to push the pile. Saw that on runs. You know, so that was good experience for him. You know, play against a really good front there. So yeah, I mean. It's always positive when he can go in there and anybody can go in there and get some experience and do well. And the thing is as long as he's finishing and playing with great effort, you know, hopefully some of the little technique things get fixed. Have a great day, guys.
Thank you. There you go. Titans head coach Mike Vrabel. A lot to unpack with that presser, a big presser with the news coming out about Derrick Henry. We will discuss that on the other side. As you listen to Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5. The game. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, our show is presented by Creation CBD. Creation CBD, products curated for life as I hold up a bottle of Creation CBD. And I want to talk to you about, my friends, real quick before we unpack Mike Vrabel's words about Creation CBD. If you're like me and you have aches and pains all over your body, which tends to happen as we age. Chase, you'll get there one day. Elijah, you'll get there one day. Here's a solution for you. Creation CBD. It means healing. And that right there says a lot, right? It gets my attention. It's locally and organically sourced CBD products from right here in Middle Tennessee. Yeah. From seed to final cell, Creation is passionate about providing quality products for everyday use, including for your pets. Yes, it's been vitally important. It's been a game changer for our female German Shepherd who has medical issues. She has seizures and lots of them in bulk for 3+ years. And they've got a pet tincture that we've had her on for months now, and it has changed her life. I'm here to tell you that. It has changed our life. So if you have an animal, a pet, a dog that fits that category. I can't imagine we're the only one that has a dog out there that has seizures and a lot of them. You might want to look into this because I'm here to tell you it has changed her life and ours. You can order right now at creationcompany.com. Creation CBD, curated for life. Okay. Where do you want to start with Mike Vrabel's words? There was a lot to unpack there.
There is, yeah. He hit on a lot of different things. I think the thing that really stood out to me was one of the first things he said, and he doubled down on it several times, of he doesn't want to give a timeline. I know that's a very coach-like way to do things, that I think in this situation, that's important. It's important for the team not to hold on to a potential timeline. You have to rally together as a team, which is what he's trying to do now. Without Derek, he said we need to move on, which I know may come across as like, how can you just move on from the potential MVP in the league? You don't have him right now. He's gone. So you do have to move on. I thought that his tone in all of that was exactly what it needed to be. You know, he doesn't like to talk about injuries. He doesn't like to be asked about injuries. He did joke one time when one of the reporters said, I want to pivot, and he's like, please do. You know, you can tell he just doesn't like talking about this stuff. But he knew he had to, and he handled that very well. But the timeline part, I think, is important because we're all going to get caught up in that. You know, if it comes out and they say 6 to 8 or 10 to 12 or whatever, you know, everybody's going to hold on to that hope of, oh, okay, that falls in the window. He could come back. But I also think it's important, like I asked Will Carroll, of not rushing him back. You have to think of the long-term effects, even though this team is in win-now mode and going for it this year.
But what long-term effects are there? I mean, Will Carroll said it. It's a broken bone.
It's a broken bone.
When they heal, you're good to go.
But we also have talked about Javon Kearse and the fact that he was never the same. You know,
yeah, but maybe his kept re-breaking. I mean, everybody is different, right?
And we think we know with Derrick Henry because we think he's a freak and just he can bounce back like any, you know, like no one else can, and that may be the case. But I do think you still have to keep that in mind of make sure it's real good to go.
How do you make sure? If the doctors give you clearance and a bone is healed, what is there to make sure?
And that's who he's going to listen to. He's going to listen to the doctors.
Well, that's actually what's interesting is that's what stood out to me. He said, doctors love timelines, and I'm sure they're going to give us a timeline, but I won't listen to it. Those were Mike Vrabel's words.
Right.
I thought that was interesting. Oh, okay, the doctor's going to give you a timeline, and I'm sure they're going to do it, and I'm not going to listen to them. Oh, okay.
Which
I thought that was an interesting comment from a coach. Like, you have doctors on your staff for a reason. Every team does. And he's like, they'll give us a timeline, but I'm sure I won't listen to it. What? Because I thought his answer was a really good answer. By the way, that may have been one of the best Mike Vrabel press conferences he's ever had.
I agree.
I got to be honest. That was one of the best ones he's ever done. He got some dumb questions in there. I'm sorry. He just did. And he answered them pretty well. I thought he did a really good job with that press conference. I don't know why he can't do that more often because there were some questions in there that just weren't good questions. Sorry.
Right.
And he handled them I thought he handled them the best maybe I've ever heard him handle them because, you know, is it okay to ask about the question on whether Derrick Henry? Yeah, once again, it's like, okay, I guess I understand the question. Once again, we're all geniuses in hindsight. We're all geniuses. We're all as smart as can be. If we all knew the answers afterwards, if we all had the answers beforehand, it's amazing how smart we would look all the time, right?
Yeah.
It's Derrick Henry. If Derrick Henry says he's good to go, then
– that was interesting too.
Give him the benefit of the doubt. Like, I am all on board on what he said. I'm going to give Derrick Henry the benefit of the doubt. He's earned it. And you know what?
Yeah.
There is no truer statement than that. I have no issues with his answer to that question.
None. I don't either. And it tells you the trust that they have with each other, not just, you know, Derrick having – in his coach, but Vrabel having with Derek of that they can have that honest conversation. Cause you know, we've talked about this. I've brought this up before of, you know, how often as the coach, do you check with the player like, hey, you good? You need a break. Like, and they're never going to tell you they need a break. But I do think that there are more in-depth conversations that take place between Mike Vrabel and Derek Henry than they would any other player. And they should. And so I thought, you know, him opening up about that and saying those words of he's earned the right to the benefit of the doubt because of what he's done and how he takes care of himself, that was pretty telling. So,
who is Mike Vrabel, honestly, even though he's the head coach? If Derrick Henry in the moment, like nobody knows what's happened there. Nobody knows. On the side, unless he goes and gets an X-ray or an MRI. Well, you can't even get an MRI. He goes and gets an X-ray there, which I don't even know how much that reveals or not. I don't know. Who's the head coach to say, nah, I'm not listening to you. I've got a feeling something bad has happened. You're not playing. Like, that doesn't even make any sense. Like, what coach does that? And, oh, by the way, a guy like Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
Who is just different than everybody else. Like, what coach is going to be like, yeah, Derrick, I know you're good to go. I know you say you're good, but I don't know, man. I've got a feeling something bad has happened. So I'm going to leave you out of the rest of the game. It's the first quarter. No, the answer is no coach is doing that. So I don't fault Mike Vrabel at all. Okay, Derrick Henry says he's good to go, then you keep trotting Derrick Henry out there. Bottom line.
Let me play devil's advocate for a second then. Then what's the deal with Julio Jones? Does he ask Julio Jones, like, hey, are you good to go, or is he leaving him out because he's protecting him?
I just tell you, my read on Mike Vrabel is he doesn't like – Julio Jones is not his type of player. That's just my read.
I think that's a fair
Mike
read.
Mike Vrabel is never going to tell us publicly – I think he could be just fine without Julio Jones. That's just my take.
I don't understand why I'm asking that.
I understand, but listen, every time you just heard Julio Jones. Yeah, we're going to have practice on Wednesday. But John Glennon was like, yeah, but I asked about Julio Jones. Yeah, I don't know. It's Monday. I don't know. We'll see. I mean,
right.
We've learned about Mike Vrabel. One, if he glows about you or if he really gives an answer about you, he likes you. Okay.
Yep.
If he sidesteps it completely and barely wants to talk about you, more than likely, he doesn't like you.
Right.
That's my read in 3+ years. And last time I checked, he doesn't ever glow about Julio Jones, does he?
No. Not really.
Does he ever give in-depth answers about Julio Jones? Not to my knowledge. So I don't believe he's a Mike Vrabel type of guy, personally. That's just my read.
Which Derrick Henry we know is.
It's been pretty spot on over the years when he talks about certain players and when he doesn't talk about certain players. It was pretty clear. Right. You know, that kicker last year, Gostkowski, that was a Mike Vrabel kicker.
Yep.
That was a Mike Vrabel guy.
That's why he stuck around.
Because, at some point, I felt like this show, or at least two of us, gave him the benefit of the doubt for a good while. You were ready to punt him. Pretty quick. You're ready to Brett Kern him.
I was.
Pretty quick. Kick him to the curb. And we were prepared to give him the benefit of the doubt and give him the benefit of the doubt. He's got skins on the wall. Okay, another week. And then eventually we said, okay, enough's enough. Like,
yeah.
That's it. Like, enough's enough. It's time to move on. And he didn't because he's a Mike Vrabel guy. And ironically, it got better after that. But when I came on these airwaves and said, all right, the leash has been really long. It's time to punt Gostkowski. It's time to move on. Find another kicker. They didn't, and things got better.
Yeah.
But that's his pattern. Like, when he talks about you at any length at all, by the way, I kind of, like, Dylan Raidens, I was surprised he gave him that much talk.
Yeah.
Is that a good sign?
I think so. Because that's the second time I've heard him say something like that when it comes to Dylan Raidens, and that kind of tells me, all right, maybe he's moving into the good graces. There was another along these lines when he was asked about Adrian Peterson, and he said, I'm not going to comment on speculation or players that aren't here. Then he went on to comment that we've played against him, we know what he can do, we respect him, which I took that as, okay, well, he gave you what you wanted to know. There's interest. He basically just said it without saying it, and he's been known to do that too. If there was no interest, he would have sidestepped the question completely. But I think he answered that in a way of saying, yeah, he's somebody that could totally fit with what we're wanting to do. So Kim, you're right; he has ways of doing that.
Kim tweets, "Steamac, I think you're 100% right about Vrabel and Julio Jones." Kim, we're on the same page. See, if you're watching us. Hey, we're thinking alike. I just Listen to him talk about Julio. It doesn't sound like a Mike Vrabel type of guy.
No,
he's pretty short and sweet for a guy who's probably on his way to Canton one day. And he doesn't say much about Julio Jones.
And I'll say this, if that is the case, and like you said, no, Vrabel's never going to confirm that. You know, he's never going to flat out say it, but if that is the case, I think that those concerns probably would have been there before the trade was made, and it is interesting that, you know, that John Robinson would go ahead and make that trade if there, you know, because I'm assuming there were conversations between Mike Vrabel and John Robinson about this. I would hope so.
Well, I'm not willing to go there. I'm not willing to say it was preconceived and he already had formed his opinion on Julio Jones before anything happened. I'm not willing to go there. I'm saying now that he's been around Julio Jones, he's not a Mike Vrabel type of player. That's what I'm saying. I don't know how he felt beforehand and now currently. I do know how he feels currently, my opinion. I don't know how he felt beforehand. I don't know if he felt the same way or if this opinion is solely based on since he's been here. Because I don't know what Mike Vrabel thought of Julio Jones before the trade was made. I don't know what their conversations
were.
But
I'm sure he talked to people
before they struck the deal. But I don't know. All I can tell you is now that he's been around Julio Jones, it's my opinion. It's not his type of guy.
Yeah. And I think you're right.
Just listen to the way he answers the questions about Julio Jones. And quite honestly, to this point, and I was in favor of Julio Jones.
So
I believe this show was in favor of Julio Jones. Once again, hindsight, we're all smart, right? If we knew what we know now, well, I don't think they should have made the deal. Like, knowing what we know today, Julio Jones really hasn't been much of a factor. And right now, I'm sure Atlanta's going, see? We could have told you. We could have told you this is how it's going to play out. Knowing what we know today, is Julio Jones been worth it?
Nope.
Today? Right now? No. The answer is no.
Show me the next 9 games.
Right.
This is when you need him.
Right. Can that narrative change? And it desperately needs to change, Chase. Desperately.
Oh, no doubt.
With today's news.
This needs to become the AJ and Julio show.
Yeah. That's exactly
what
it needs,
to be.
Yes.
You get a competent running back or running back by committee or whatever you want to do to help you set up play action, because that's been so successful for this offense and for Ryan Tannehill. You do that and 11-2 all day long. That's what they need to be.
For all those that think they can survive, and it's not really about survive. Remember, this show, we have been saying, I've never once said they're not making the playoffs. I've never once said they're not going to win the division. I still think that is obtainable. Absolutely. The division sucks. It's terrible. The Jags stink and the Texans stink. So that's two teams already been flushed. They're completely out of it. And the Colts are below 500. It's not about that. It's about, okay, realistically, what are they when they get in the playoffs? Today, before this news, it's like the road to L.A., goes through Nashville. That's today's talk. You've earned that right. You're 6-2. You just beat the Bills on Monday Night Football. You creamed and embarrassed the Chiefs. And then you just went to Indianapolis and crushed the Colts, their hopes of winning this division. The Colts are out of it. That's what I'd be saying today. If Derrick Henry was fine, it'd be like, yeah, Colts, good luck. You're not winning the division. You just lost the division. The AFC South, it's the Titans. But now all this changes. So with this news, if he is unable to come back, it's not about still getting to the playoffs. Like, I still think they can navigate through this season. They've built a good lead. They've swept the Colts for the season. They control the tiebreakers.
Yep.
Can they get in the playoffs? Yes. But okay, but then what are they?
Right.
Without Derrick Henry? That's my concern. I'm just not willing to sit there and say everything is beautiful, because it's not.
No.
It's just not without Derrick Henry. He's the best running back in the league.
It's not, but what I'll say is if you can get the most out of A.J. Brown, which I think A.J. the last few weeks has been tremendous.
If this is what he's going to be the rest of the way.
I am not knocking A.J. Brown and what he's been doing the last few weeks. But you got to get something out of Julio.
Yep.
And more than what you're getting now. And Here's the other one. This is the big one. The quarterback's
don't
got
you
to shoulder
dare say
this.
Darrington Evans.
No, the quarterback. I mean, yep. Now it's time. You don't have the safety blanket anymore. And so what is Ryan Tannehill without Derrick Henry? When we've seen those flashes before, when Derrick's been taken out of the game, mm-hmm. in the big game situations, it hadn't looked good.
It hasn't. If for all the Ryan Tannehill defenders, and why doesn't he get more love? Well, now it's time. Mm-hmm. Now it's time for him to step up because he does not have the best running back in the league behind him anymore. And, you know, there is no replacing 180 yards rushing and 3 touchdowns in a game in the backfield. There isn't. It's not going to happen. So, Ryan Tannehill, can you, for all those people who have been screaming from the mountaintops about Ryan Tannehill, more love? All right, let's see.
Yep.
Because now it's truly on him. It's now up to Ryan Tannehill to will them to keep this thing going, right? And if you truly want to talk about a team that's still a contender without Derrick Henry, then Julio Jones and A.J. Brown have to be out there. They have to be upright and available, and they have to be running down the field. They just do. And A.J. Brown, I feel much better now because that's 3 really good weeks in a row. He looks like the A.J. Brown of old. But Julio Jones right now, non-factor, just non-factor.
Right.
And that's got to change. If they truly want to have a chance to be contenders and they truly want to keep this thing rolling down the tracks, Julio Jones has got to be upright and available. He's got to be out there, period, bottom line.
So if you go to NFL.com, they already have the playoff picture up. They've been doing this the last few weeks, and it's kind of fun to follow along. So as we've said, right now today, the Titans are the number one seed in the AFC. So they would get the first round bye. Then you have the Raiders, the Ravens, the Bills, the Bengals, the Steelers, and the Chargers with the Patriots and Browns and even the Broncos knocking on the door. The Chiefs, you know, who knows? But I look at that today, and, you know, even if that's what it is, which that's not what it's going to be, you and I don't believe in the Raiders. I think that they fall down to earth at some point. You know, I still have faith the Chiefs, even with all their problems, they could make it interesting. The Chargers, now I'm kind of unsure on them, what they are out of the West. Baltimore looks to be legit. Buffalo, you know, Buffalo pulled away yesterday, but you brought that up earlier. I mean, I think they should have done more early on against Miami. So it is truly the question of where do the Titans fit right now in all of this? You were quick to bring up the Steelers, that you can never write them off. Well, they're going in the right direction. It was a bad loss by Cincinnati to the Jets. But to me, it all comes back to A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, Ryan Tannehill. They have to be much more, especially Julio Jones and Tannehill, than they have been.
By the way, the Steelers have beaten the Bills, the Raiders, and the Browns this season.
Yeah. Yeah.
And 2 of them on the road.
4-3.
At Buffalo, at Cleveland.
Pretty crazy. Pretty crazy.
Those are AFC contenders, are they not?
They are.
At least today. And they beat the Raiders at home.
And, I mean, you look at teams in the hunt. You know, Patriots at 4-4, Browns at 4-4, Broncos at 4-4, Chiefs at 3-4. That's the list. I would take the Broncos. The Broncos, to me, are saying they're waving the white flag, you know, trading Von Miller. Who knows what else happens. But so I kind of go Patriots, Browns, Chiefs. Browns are beat up. You know, those are your current contenders, and the Titans have to play the Patriots in New England. That's not going to be easy down the stretch, so. I think it's going to be jumbled. It's going to change quite a bit the next few weeks. That's why I'm looking forward to doing our rankings every week.
Somebody sent me a text on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What about if Denver is selling, what about Mike Boone? Undrafted guy, good special teams player. He's been hurt for the Broncos, but I guess he's back. He played at Cincinnati. He was a Bearcat. Ryan Port's like, yeah. That's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah. Get him. Get Mike Boone. Yeah.
Who?
I know. So he doesn't really have any time logged in the NFL, really.
No, there's not. I just pulled his stats up. I mean,
but he's
got 379 yards in 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly was with Minnesota for three and then Denver.
Uh-huh. I'm just saying. I don't know much about him other than that. That's the extent.
That doesn't do. What Mekhi Sargent or Mike Boone?
I'm just telling you what somebody texted me.
That's kind of how I look at it. Mekhi Sargent or Mike Boone. It's the equal level of who.
Both were good in college. Actually, though, Mike Boone's got more NFL experience than Mekhi Sargent.
I wish I could read Jared's text that he just sent me, but basically was asking who Mike Boone is.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, that's what we're doing, Jared.
Yeah, we're doing the same thing. I mean, I'm like, Mike Boone. I thought it was a joke.
Yeah.
I was like, Mike
Well,
Boone.
The way you read it, I was like, does he know this? Who this is? And I
no,
don't. Should
no.
I?
I had to look him up. I'm like, Mike Boone.
Because you're like, so what about Mike Boone?
I think I'd rather have Brett Boone.
I'd take Aaron Bleepin' Boone over him.
Aaron Boone.
Good postseason experience could help out.
Yeah. Yeah, that was literally my response. Who?
Who?
Mike Boone. And what do you have to give up for Mike Boone? A bag of footballs? Like, do they actually want something for him?
The leftover Halloween candy.
Okay, I mean, it depends on what we're talking about. I'd give up some. I'm not big on candy corn. I definitely would give that up. I don't like anything coconut. So was that Almond Joy? That stuff. You can have all that stuff. I'd give up some candy I don't like for Mike Boone. Give Mike Boone a whirl for some bad Halloween candy. Somebody, by the way, gave my son a spoon and like a ping pong ball. Is that a new game that's popular?
What?
Yeah, like literally like a, not a tablespoon, but like a long, like a wooden spoon, a bigger spoon, and like a ping pong ball. And it's like, is that a game? Is that a popular game now?
That's what they were handing out
to kids. Big, long spoons with like a ping pong ball. Is that like some TikTok thing I don't know about?
I have no idea.
Okay. Well, if you or Elijah don't know, then
I
don't know.
We're all these texts are coming in. Jordan Wilkins just got released from the Colts. Somebody has thrown out Jordan threw that out there. Andrew says we need to stick to talking hockey. So there you go. All those things coming.
What does that even mean? I don't even understand. What does that mean?
Sorry guys, but y'all need to stick with talking hockey. We didn't lose Tannehill, Brown, or even Landry or Dupree. It's so easy to replace a running back. I mean, how many undrafted free agents have come in and dominated? We don't need 180 rush yards and three touchdowns by the running back to win because no other team wins that way.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right, Andrew. Well, we're about to find out what life after Derrick Henry looks like.
That easy.
Yeah. Don't need Derrick Henry. Well, there's a new take.
That explains why the Titans don't give him any carries.
Yeah.
I know.
Wow. There's a new one.
Running backs are easy to replace.
Okay. That's a good one. Chase, why don't you tell everybody about BetMGM? I'm sure the rankings, the odds went up now that they've lost Derrick Henry, because what's the big deal?
Yeah, no big deal at all. BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, welcomes you with the lock of the year. This is what you need to do. Place a $10 moneyline wager on either New York or Kansas City. And if either team scores a touchdown, you'll win $200 in free bets, regardless of your bet's outcome. Just use the bonus code 1025GAME200 when you make your first bet. Enjoy football like never before with BetMGM's live betting options and boosted odds specials at your fingertips all season long. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com. Use that code 1025GAME200 to win $200 in free bets if either New York or Kansas City scores a touchdown. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager, Tennessee only, new customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
You can join us. We've partnered with Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's Light the Night. Light the Night brings light to the darkness of cancer through hope, research, and support for patients and families. Through this inspirational nationwide movement, what we want to do is raise awareness and funding for groundbreaking research and treatment options to eliminate cancer. Nashville's Light the Night will be virtual and take place this Thursday at 7 o'clock. This Thursday at 7 p.m. Learn more at lightthenight.org/TN as we are on the first day of November. By the way, I figured it out. I figured that Mike Boone text. I didn't read the name. Duh, Randy. I didn't get – so now it makes sense. That was from Randy. Randy.
Okay.
Hey, what about Mike Boone? Mike Boone's Cincinnati. He's a Bearcat.
So our resident Kentucky lover, other than you, Michelle Knezovitz from our morning show, said, what about trading with the Steelers for Benny Snell? He's not really doing much with them. I mean, his numbers don't blow you away necessarily in his time, but could get more – you could get more out of him than they are because he's only got 8 carries for 21 yards this year in 7 games. Is that anyone that interests you?
I watched Benny. Benny got many opportunities with the Steelers, especially when James Conner was hurt when he was there. And he's had a couple flashes, but overall
Had 111 carries for 368 last year, 108 for 426.
Yeah, haven't been that impressed with him, to be honest. If that were the case, I'd just probably roll the dice and take my chances with Adrian Peterson.
Yep, I would agree. Andrew's getting beat up on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Some people saying he needs to quit being a clown because Halloween's over.
I can't believe that was a serious text.
Shane from Ashland City says, to the last texter, you need to stick to watching football, not talking. Easy to replace a running back, sure, but replacing Henry, close to impossible. That's what we're saying. This isn't about the position
this
necessarily.
Is not,
this
right.
is about the player.
This is about an elite, a generational type running back.
Yeah.
That's what he is.
I mean, he is the offense. Now, am I saying or are we saying that the offense is going to be completely inept now, and they're going to stop, and they're going to go away, and they're never going to score any points again because Derrick Henry's gone? No, that's not what we're saying. We're simply saying that you can't replace that production by just signing a running back, and it changes how you do things. It changes how defenses respect you. They don't have to respect the play action as much anymore because they know that you don't have 22 back there to set it all up. Now, can you still run play action? Sure you can. But it's just different now. And that's why you need an A.J. Brown, a Julio Jones, and insert name here, to be even more effective weapons for Ryan Tannehill for this offense to continue to do what it's been able to do. But we've seen times when the rare occasion where a defense does take Henry out of the fold or, you know, what have you, and it looks different. Looks very different. So that's why Mike Vrabel today said several times, you know, hey, Todd and I are going to sit down. We're going to sit down with the offensive staff and figure out, you know, what our offense looks like. But it is going to be different. Just bottom line.
Nate tweets at me, did they mean DMAC to give you an egg instead of a ping pong ball, the balancing egg race with a wooden spoon instead? Well, it's not an egg, so I don't know what they meant to do. But there were other kids with us. We had a big, large group, and it was the same thing, just different colored spoons.
Yeah.
So, no, I don't think it was meant to be an egg. So, I don't know.
When in doubt, just give out candy like a normal person.
Because we're all confused. The kids were confused. We were confused. The parents, we had no idea what to tell them. Like, you know, hey, okay, we'll figure it out later. Like, let's just keep moving.
I have one exception to the rule. When I was growing up, there was always this – I went over to my buddy's house because his neighborhood was cooler to trick-or-treat in. And there was always this one house that every year would hand out soft drinks.
Yeah, we had that too.
And yeah, I was all too. About that because it was always
sure.
like you've been out for a while.
Yeah, you're kind of thirsty. Yeah.
And so there was one time, you know, when our moms were, well, it's too late.
Get a little caffeine.
Too late for all that sugar and caffeine. And as we look down at our bag full of candy and go, really? So we can't eat any of this now. It's not going to have the same effect. So we would always get that, you know, around 8 o'clock, get that Coca-Cola.
Haven't seen that. We had the same thing. We always had a house that had just cases and cases and cases
soft drinks,
of canned soft drinks, and they would that's what they would hand out. And,
they'd be cold, like they were always in ice. Like it
nobody
was great.
Does that anymore, I don't think. Yeah. Not at least not in our neighborhood either. So
I think I found an appropriate response to your child when they receive a spoon and a ping pong ball.
Okay.
Some days a diamond, some days a stone.
The wife lesson.
I just had that song to play last night when they were very confused. All right, let's talk to another doctor on the other side to begin the final hour. Dr. Robert Greenberg, who's with the Tennessee Orthopedic Alliance, will join us. We'll talk a little bit more about this injury. What does this mean for Derrick Henry? What does this mean for the Titans? We'll discuss next on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.